This is Juno Afternoon. I'm Rhonda McBride. We're getting closer and closer to saying goodbye to the Spirit Wraps Around You exhibit at the Alaska State Museum. It's only been here since May, but it does close this coming Saturday. So our hope is that after you hear from our next guest, you will want to head over there and soak in the beauty of the blankets, robes, and other weavings from Southeast Alaska Native culture. The exhibit was 30 years in the planning stages and features some of the oldest known ceremonial robes of Tsimshian, Haida, and Tlingit people. And among the weavings, you will find mountain goat wool, hand-spun into shades of seafoam green, springtime yellow designs outlined in midnight black. And one of the advantages of this exhibit has been a chance for weavers and scholars to learn more about this tradition. And one of the areas of exploration is what plants and natural materials did weavers use to produce all those beautiful colors. And joining us to share some of what was learned, Ellen Carley, she's conservator at the Alaska State Museum, and Lily Hope, a weaver and teacher, and they're all part of the Chilkat Dye Working Group exploring all of this. Well, first of all, I want to welcome both of you, and maybe you could begin. We'll start with you, Ellen, about some of your impressions about what this exhibit has meant to this tradition.
Well, I think one of the most important things about the exhibit is how collaborative it has been and how it has co-curators from Tlingit, Haida, and Tsimshian cultures. It was Lonnie Hotch, Marie Oldfield, and Evelyn Vanderhooper were the three co-curators and weavers who were part of developing that exhibit. And then Lily and I have been part of this large group of weavers and dyers who have been studying the materials. So I think that the collaboration has been one of the most exciting parts of the exhibit.
How about you, Lily? Because you inherited a lot of knowledge, you know, from your family, but did you expand what you knew during this exhibit?
I don't know if expansion is the word as much as reaffirmation, like the affirmative that this is where I'm supposed to be and the work that we are supposed to continue doing. I think that's what I got out of it. I was demonstrating at the museum a few days a week for most of the exhibition from May to October. There was a month there where I wasn't in, but being in the space with these ancestral weavings really has brought that affirmation.
And you also taught some classes on how to dye wool, and they were packed. They were filled up almost as soon as they were advertised. What was that like, sharing that knowledge?
Teaching is my heart work. That's my happy place. And teaching youth is especially more so. Teaching with Ellen is 10 times more fun. So it was a blast. We had quite a number of youth, gosh, 20-something youth, almost 30 youth come, and we dyed 7 different colors, trying on acrylic, cotton, and wool, and it's a great, great afternoon. Chilly, but quite fun.
So for people that don't know very much about weaving, maybe we should start with some basics. So Ellen, what is Chilkat dye, and how is it different than other dyes?
Well, there's only 3 colors that we usually see in the Chilkat weavings. We see a dark brown or a black, we see yellow, and then we see a blue or a green. And that goes back to the form line and how the designs are developed. But you would think only 3 colors, there wouldn't be that many choices. But it's been kind of astonishing to us how many different choices there really are for accomplishing those colors.
And so, Lily, how did you learn about dyeing wool?
Well, I started in my teen years with my mother, who was a renowned Chilkat weaver, Clarissa Rizal. She spent a lot of time dyeing with synthetic and acid dyes, commercial dyes. So I was stirring dye pots, you know, and listening to Van Morrison with her for 30 years now. But she didn't dye with natural yarns. I asked her about it. I said, can we dye with natural colors? Can I do this pale yellow? And she said, well, my teacher said, you know, do you want your yellow to be yellow in 500 years? And I said, well, I'm going to be long dead in 500 years. What do I care? I want to dye with the old materials. So I didn't get into the dyeing until this Chilkat Dye Working Group started with Ellen and the Alaska State Museum and Liana Wallace and all these other women. And it was about community for me. I really wanted to explore that with other people. That's teaching, collaborating with people. That's it. Drives me to it.
Well, we live in a disposable world, you know, where things are not meant to last 300 years. Ellen, have those colors pretty much kept their original intensity? There were some older blankets in the exhibit, more than 100 years old. Do you think that they faded much over time?
Well, some of them, more than others. You know, the fronts of the robes, all of them are astonishingly gorgeous. But when you look at the backside, often the colors are more vivid on the backside. But it depends on the colorant. It depends on the dye. Some of them last longer than others. When we just mailed back the yarns to the kids that were part of the dye workshop just a couple weeks ago, we've encouraged them to do a little fading test, cover up some of the yarns with some tinfoil, hang it in the window for a couple months and see which of the colors fade and which ones stay around. It's pretty interesting science.
Well, Lily, what about making something to last hundreds of years? That's pretty special.
You know, we think as parents that we're going to birth children and they'll be around for, you know, another 75. But yes, I agree with you. It's pretty special to weave something that will be here 5, 10, 20 generations from now.
And why was that important? Can you give us some of the culture behind these robes? Because many of them are sacred and spiritual.
Well, Chilkat dancing blankets have been our identity for Tlingit Haida Tsimshian peoples of the northwest coast of Alaska for hundreds of years. It captures our migration histories. We weave our clan identities, our clan crests onto them, sometimes dreams, sometimes political outgoings. My mother wove a robe called Resilience that had boats and school doors and logos from the corporations here in Southeast that have supported Native peoples since ANCSA. They're vitally important as record-keeping documents. I call them our recorded history, our woven history.
They are so many things, from woven history to objects that bring ceremony and comfort and also are just beautiful to look at. We're trying to get people to go and see that exhibit because we know that they are going to regret it. Especially if they look at the catalog that's been done later and they start looking at it and go, oh, I wish I had seen that in person, that beautiful blanket. So from your perspective, Lily, why should people go see that exhibit? You know, I know for you as a weaver, it must have been amazing to see this collection.
I would encourage people to go see this space because it's a chronological telling of how we came to be weaving Chilkat blankets. It starts in cedar bark and spruce root and goes into the raven's tail geometric, northern geometric weavings, and then transitionals as we bring in the form line from our bentwood boxes and our house screens up on the coast. And then these Chilkat dancing blankets that are really beings in themselves, a record not only of the clan, but of this weaver's life, of the family and community that supported this weaver in creating the work, which goes back to the dyeing and the spinning and the harvesting of cedar and the hunting of mountain goats, the pattern development. It was a community affair.
You know, we were talking about how these were made to last hundreds of years, and we have this disposable society today where things are made on machines and very quickly. Can you give us an appreciation of how much time it took to make some of the robes and blankets that are on display?
Thousands of hours. 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 hours for each one. If you're talking raven's tail, little geometric, they get to weave from the left side to right side and make progress all the way. Some of them still take 800 to 1,500 hours to make. sometimes two or three weavers working together, but that doesn't count the 6 to 15 weeks of preparations of gathering bark and hunting goat or splitting merino wool and cooking cedar bark so it's not sappy. I mean, all the preparations that go into it, thousands and thousands of hours. If a Chilkat blanket maker weaves 5 blankets in her life, she's hit the 10,000 hours of mastery that Malcolm Gladwell talks about. And imagine 24 of these in one space and how many lifetimes that is, how many hours and hours of weavers and hearts and hands in the work. I've heard that many people who have visited the exhibition cry when they enter just from the sheer overwhelm of like, this is history for a moment in time and how many hearts went into the work, not just the weavings, but the curation of the exhibit.
So, Ellen, what is your takeaway from the exhibit, the thing that is the must-see?
As the previous speaker was talking about, it's not possible to just divide it up and say there's one thing in there because it's the whole experience of all these robes together with each other in that space that makes, just talking about it, the hair standing up on my arms, and we've been working on this for years. It's all of it coming together in that way.
Well, what about the part of the exhibit, which you've been involved with that talks about the different dyes?
Well, of course, we're bonkers about that nerdy part of the exhibit. There's 4 cases right underneath a lovely taxidermied mountain goat on loan to us from the Mercantile Armory here in town. But there's 4 cases, one for each of the 4 colors. And they're loaded with yarns and plant materials and dye baths and all these things that we've been working on for the past several years in this kind of long-term relationship with the weavers and some chemists down in Portland State University. Tammy Lassiter Clare is the chemist that's working on analyzing a reference set of dyes that the weavers have been working on for years, coming up with all these plants from the land and dyes that can be made from them. And then that chemistry lab is also with tiny samples, just a couple eyelashes worth, looking at all the dyes in the robes that the Alaska State Museum cares for. So those cases that kind of talk about this process of our research together is, of course, very exciting to those of us in the Chilkat Dye Working Group.
Well, tell us a little bit about the working group. I mean, who are your members? Can anybody join?
So I think part of the success of that group is that it was the vision of Lyanna Wallace, who's a Tlingit culture bearer and weaver. And it was her who said, wouldn't it be cool? You've got that conservation lab. We should study dyes. And so when these chemists in Portland had a grant, Lyanna and I pitched this project. And she was the one who decided who the first few folks were to come on board and start to build the trust between the museum and the weavers. And it sort of has grown from there. And there's about 30 people there. That are on the, there's a email group, but people get added every couple months and it's kind of word of mouth. And there's also only about a dozen people who are super active, who have turned in samples and whatnot. And I think that the community, a lot of weavers in the community are still looking to see what we do with the information, to see if we're trustworthy, to see what comes out of it. And so I think it's going to go on for a while yet, this research project.
Lily, how do you feel about being part of this group? Do you think there's a lot of potential to revitalize weaving through this group?
I've seen that people are excited about the dye itself and figuring out which yellows particularly stay the longest with light exposure. That's been really great. I don't know if it's helping revitalize the weaving, but it is definitely waking up the scientists in all of us. And even the weavers who are in the group that we are now going back to, like, oh, we don't have to use acid dyed yarns. We can actually use these colors that don't fade. So motivating us to continue the work with the old traditions, right? Using the dyes that are 300-year-old practices. So, yeah, I'm excited about that there's a way forward with the old knowledge.
But one of the parts of the exhibit that captivated me was a Hershey bar wrapper, a brown wrapper. And apparently women used it, boiled it to get a brown dye. So nothing stays exactly traditional, should it? You know, should we say, oh, we can't have other colors and other things. We should just stick to the traditional materials.
Well, my sister, Ursula Hudson, she goes by Kadu Snay, that's her Tlingit name. She has made it really clear that innovation has always been traditional, that we've been resourceful. Yes, all the things that we need are in our backyards. But then when a Hershey bar crosses our way or a marine trade blanket comes our way and we can leach the blue dye out of this wool blanket, we're going to do it because we can. Because it's available to us. And, you know, our potatoes are 10,000 years old from Peru. So we've been trading for thousands of years. And if we can dye with chocolate wrappers, we're going to. It's all the sweeter.
I like that. All the sweeter. Well, Ellen, before we go, any words about how to access the exhibit in these final days?
Yes. So the museum's open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 4. And of course, this Saturday, October 9th, is our last day, sadly. The catalog is available if you come to the museum, but it's also available at the Friends of the State Library Archives and Museum website. That's foslam.org. And our dye research and a lot of the exhibit is available on the museum's website at museums.alaska.gov.
So I guess it is goodbye, but hopefully we'll have a way to stay in touch with this beautiful art. I want to thank you very much, Ellen Carley from the Alaska State Museum, and Lily Hope, a teacher and a weaver and much, much more, a person with a lot of passion for sharing this art. Thank you so much for being here with us. Gunashchish.